chapter 22 in the Word of God this morning. I'm actually going to be preaching from 2 Peter, but I want you to see a passage in which the Lord addresses Peter and his disciples together with me here first of all this morning. It is about the time of the crucifixion. They have just had the Lord's Supper for the very first time in that upper room where the Lord had gathered with his disciples. And the Lord is going to speak to Peter directly and give some encouragement and some advice to him in order for future ministry. And I want you to notice something here together with me, beginning in verse number 31. Where it said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, again, that is a reference to Peter himself. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Let me just stop and address something here really briefly this morning. There are times that people frown on using the King James Version. And part of what they may make fun of are the these and thous of the Word of God. But I want you to understand that these and thous are there on purpose and give us a more clear understanding of the Word of God. When the Lord uses the word you in verse 31, that is speaking to a plural. That is addressing a plurality of people. And so he is actually talking about the disciples. Look again, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have y'all. Amen. He is addressing the plurality of the disciples in verse 31, that he may sift you, all of you, disciples, as wheat. Then he goes on to specifically turn the focus to Peter. But I have prayed for, what's the next word? For thee. Now the newer translations have made all this you and your, and they've missed the message. This is why I believe that the King James is the Word of God that we should be following. Because of specific passages like this, it gives a more clear and more specific address of what God is saying through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now He's specifically focusing on Peter, but I've prayed for thee, so His eyes are now intently looking at Peter, that thy faith fail not. Again, thy faith, I know He's addressing all this to Simon, Simon. But I think he's saying, hey, Simon, Satan wants to sift you all as wheat, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for thee and for thy faith and when thou art converted or again changed, strengthen thy brethren. And so God has intended to use Peter in future ministry, not only by giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven to reach the lost, but God had a specific ministry in mind for Peter to minister to his brethren in Christ. Let's see an example of that in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. As I address you from the Scriptures today, my desire is to emphasize our need for the Word of God and our need to walk therein. As we are about to enter into a new year, many people are getting the self-help programs and reading child rearing from this person and another, and happy marriage and this person and another, and how to walk with the Lord. And I appreciate the fact that people want to help us in our relationship, but dear friend, you can't ever read those books and set this book aside. This book's been given to us from God. Those other books, maybe God has intended for those people to write them, and God has used those people in our lives. But we know this book was written by God. And God intends for this book to help us with life and with living. And so I want to talk to you today about the sufficiency of the Scriptures for life and living. Actually, Peter, the first time he wrote, in 1 Peter, he wrote about the sufficiency of God's grace. The second time he wrote about the sufficiency of God's Word. I want us to look today at the sufficiency of God's Word for life and living so that as we need help in this upcoming year, we turn to the Word of God and find our answers from the Lord there. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to understand the full words which you have given to us. And so I understand better now how Peter was being addressed, that all these disciples were going to be sifted, but you were going to use him in particular, and I thank you for how you did. Father, it was just after that he went on and he denied you, and you knew that. Father, there's some maybe here today wondering, can you ever use them because of their faults, because of their failures? And we must understand, whenever you use someone who has faults and failures. But you're willing to help us by thy word. And so we now come to you asking you to give us a clearer understanding of your word and how it is to be used in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I carefully studied and reread this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And what I've decided this morning to do for the direction I wanted to take this message and the flow of the thoughts, I want to begin taking the end of the chapter first, beginning in verse number 15, and then going back and picking up a few verses at the beginning. And I hope you can follow along as I do so. I want us to see about belief today, and first of all, how you must believe in the significance of the Scriptures. I want you to walk away from this message this morning understanding how significant this book is. This book isn't just good for us to read. It isn't just a good idea for us to regularly read the Word of God, but it is God's answer for life and its problems. And I want you to see the significance that Peter lays upon the Word of God. And I want you to believe in your heart that this book is significant for your life, for raising your children, for keeping your marriage together, for keeping you a proper workman in the workplace and a proper neighbor in the neighborhood and so forth. The significance of God's Word. Let's pick it up in verse number 15. Peter is similar to Paul. He finds out ahead of time that from the Lord that he's soon going to pass away. And so Peter knows he's nearing the end of his life. And look what he says beginning in verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He says, you know what? I'm going to soon die. But I want you to have a record so that you can always have these things in remembrance. These are things that you'll be able to remember because you'll be able to read them. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And again, when he talks about we, I think he's talking about the apostleship, the apostles of the Lord, and also the followers of the Lord, but specifically the apostles. He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And right there, as he's writing those words, I believe he's going back to that Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. If you ever read that story, it talks about the glow, the radiance of the Lord, and a voice from heaven, and two men that came before them. And Peter speaking again, putting his foot in his mouth and wanting to stay up there forever. But he says, you know what? He says, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Look at verse 17 when it describes it. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And so again, he's describing that Mount of Transfiguration situation. And he not only talks about what he saw, He talks about what he heard and even shares the exact words in which he heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so Peter said, hey, we were there. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He says, we're not following cunningly devised fables. We are following what we saw and what we heard from the Lord Himself. But look what he goes on to say. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? Being an eyewitness. Is there something that you think of today that's more sure than what you've seen yourself or more sure than what you've heard yourself? Peter's saying, you know what? I've got something in my life that will help you. It's actually more sure, more accurate, more beneficial than what I saw and what I heard my very own self. Look what he says again. Verse number 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts. So he's talking about something that is more accurate than his own testimony of what took place. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the... So what's the more sure word of testimony? It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. Look at verse number 20 again. The prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As you are reading here the words of Peter, he says, I have something that is more sure, more accurate than what I witnessed myself. And it is the Word of God. It is the prophecy of the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost directed holy men to write down. Now, the holy men are not perfect men, but they are men that God had set apart for writing down the Word of God. So we have various writers of the Word of God. Were these men perfect? No, but they were set apart for the purpose of ministering and being used for the Lord. And so he is telling us how we got these Scriptures. He said, this isn't of any private interpretation. This didn't come because of the will of man. It wasn't a group of men who were Puritans or pure in their lives, wanting everybody to have a spiritual book that would lead them in the right direction. And these men would be named Paul and Peter and so forth. No. He says, this isn't a private interpretation. He says, this isn't by the will of man. Man didn't just decide we need a book to live by. He said these holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scriptures are given by, what's the phrase? Inspiration of God. What does that mean? God breathed. These Scriptures, folks, have come to us from God. God has had His Word written down so that after these men decease, we will be able to have these things always in remembrance. It is a significant book. Because this book isn't from good men, godly men, set apart men. This book is actually from God. And God has directed His men to write down the words so that we would have it for our learning, for our living, for our understanding. Just keep your finger here if you would and turn back to 1 Corinthians. Just maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 pages, depending on how big your Bible is and how big the lettering is, but maybe 20 pages. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In this place of the Scriptures, Paul is actually writing. He is writing to a church that actually has some spiritual issues. He says, I'd like to write unto you as spiritual, but I can't. I have to write unto you like you're carnal. He says, actually, it's like writing to unsaved people. Why does he feel that way? There's fighting. There's division among them. And it shouldn't be that way. He says, moreover, brethren, but they are Christians. Verse number 1 of chapter 10. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and that all passed through the sea, and he's gone, taken us back into the Old Testament about the nation of Israel and how God had dealt within their lives. Look at verse number 6. Now all these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after. So he's using Old Testament stories to teach New Testament truths. And he's saying, what I want you to do, I want you to learn from these Old Testament people so that you don't repeat their mistakes. So what does he say? I want you to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. You see, according to Paul, this book didn't become outdated. According to Paul, this book doesn't need to, after a while, be set on the shelf because this is a different generation, and people are now transporting in different ways, and there's now modern technology. Of course, they didn't even have it that way. But Paul is saying, you know what? This has been written for us so that we would obey it. Look at verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What is he saying here? He is saying this is written for the church age. So this book is significant. You may have been raised on a different book. You may have been raised without a book. But I want you to understand, as a Bible-believing Christian, you must see the significance of this book. And Peter is saying, you know what? It is more accurate than what I've seen with mine own eyes and what I've heard with mine own ears. This is a more sure word of prophecy that you would do well to take heed to. Let me ask you, are you obeying this book? Is this book significant enough to you that it tells you not to take the name of the Lord in vain, you won't take His name in vain? That if it tells you that you should walk in the truth, that you learn to walk in the truth? That it tells you that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise? You say, well, I want to be wise in the eyes of God. Does this book have the significance if it tell you thou shalt not lie? You say, you know what, I need to quit lying. How significant is this book to you? As we enter into this next year, I think we probably hope to be better people. Let's change that a little bit. Let's desire to be godly people. In being godly, you will be better. We don't want to just raise good children. We want to raise godly children. Sure, we want them to be mannerly. We want them to learn to respect elders. We want them to learn to be thankful and appreciate what others are doing. But we ought to get all that from the foundation. You'll get all that from the foundation of the Word of God. So again, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. You must believe in the significance of the Scriptures. You can learn from others and their eyewitness accounts of things and what they've heard and what they've learned in life, but it should never carry more weight than the Word of God. That's what I think the class Pastor Terry's having could be excellent. Maybe number one, you know someone who's wanting to learn the Bible, or you know someone that you're trying to reach for Christ. Get them into that class. Come along with them to that class and help them to learn how they can have a relationship with God. But also for you, maybe you're young and growing in the Lord. Take advantage of the opportunity that Pastor Terry is giving. And maybe you've been saved for many years and you think, well, I don't want to go in there. It's probably just for new people. No, there's new truths going to be delivered or old truths resurrected that you may not be practicing in your life. So first of all, we got to see the significance of the Scriptures. Secondly, you must believe in the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, Paul writes to Timothy, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is our foundation for both faith and practice. Paul had written just a couple verses earlier to Timothy that he, as a young man, he learned salvation through the Word of God. But then it's also a book that has the ability to take us to where we can be a man of God or a woman of God, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this has everything we need to learn how to have faith in God and also how to practice that faith. This book has the ability to give you milk and meat. As we have Sunday school classes here, we have it from the youngest to the oldest. And the teacher is working at taking it and applying it to each age group that they would have. Why is that? Because the Word of God is an amazing book. It has the ability to give milk to those who need milk and meat to those who need meat. And so as we look at that, we come to this conclusion, this book is sufficient. If I don't have the money to buy other books, the popular Christian bestsellers, I can still live a godly life if I just take this book. Let's look at the very beginning now of this chapter. I said I wanted to approach the end, and then I wanted to go back and approach the beginning of this chapter, and so we've already looked at the significance. Now I want to look at the sufficiency. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now Peter likes the precious things. He talks about the precious faith both in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He talks about the precious blood. He talks about the precious stone. He talks about the precious Savior. He says, I'm enjoined with them who are of like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, Greek grammar, this is calling Jesus Christ both God and Savior. I want you to know we believe in the deity of Christ, and we believe that Jesus Christ is God. And so this verse is stating that the righteousness of God and our Savior, both of those are attributed to Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. I want you to notice a couple things here. Notice, first of all, the similar phrases. In verse 2 and in verse 3, he says this grace and peace. By the way, how many of you but with a raised hand would say, "Well, I wish I could have more grace and more peace in my life." Would you raise your hand? I'm going to go ahead and raise both of them. One for grace and one for peace. Well, he says you can have more. In fact, not only will I add a little bit more in there, I'd be willing to multiply it. Wow. That means we're talking not just 1 plus 1. We might be talking 1 times 3. We can talk in abundance of things. And so he says, I'm willing to multiply that, but it only comes this way through what? It comes through the knowledge of God. Look at verse number 3. According again, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He will give you a divine power to help you to live the Christian life that it ought to be lived through. How do I get that? I get that through the same thing. He says, you know what, folks, it's kind of simple. He says, you will get more grace and you'll get more peace, and you'll also receive the divine power that is needed for life and godliness. And it all comes through, I've got to understand this phrase then, the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that word knowledge is not the typical word for knowledge. There's one word for knowledge. It just simply means to know, to understand. The Gnostics have an understanding. They have some knowledge. But this word really goes deeper than that. It's they would describe it this way, as a perfect knowledge, as a complete knowledge, because it is actively involved. It's not simply knowing John 3:16. It's knowing John 3:16. It's knowing what it means, and it's applying it to our lives. You know, there's a lot of people that can quote for you John 3:16. They've never applied it to their life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He do that? So that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have you ever applied that verse to your life? You might know that verse as we talked about it. You might, oh yeah, I remember hearing that verse before. But have you ever believed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and trusted in His sacrifice for you alone in order to be saved? You might have that head knowledge, but not have the knowledge it's talking about here. In fact, look at verse 6. After talking about the foundation that He's willing to lay for us to have a life of godliness, look what He says in verse 6. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue what? There's the other knowledge. There's actually the knowing John 3:16 and knowing who Peter is and knowing who Paul is and knowing what the Word of God is written about and knowing who Jesus Christ is. There's the one for having something in your mind. The other knowledge of God is more settled in the heart. So what He's talking about in verses 2 and 3 and then over into verse 4 is this sufficiency of Scripture that's going to provide you with all the grace and the peace that you need, and all the help that you need for living a godly life. It's all found here. And so Peter's about to depart from this life, and he says, listen, let me write it down for you. This is all you need. This Word of God is sufficient. What did God say, the Lord say to Paul? My grace is sufficient. You know what? What the Lord is saying here now through Peter is, I've got sufficient grace for you, and sufficient peace for you, and I've got sufficient power for you. At times we get convicted about our lives, what we're listening to, what we're watching, what we're spending our time doing, and the list goes on. And at times we'll even get a book, or at times we even just self-determine, I need to get rid of this in my life. I need to make some changes. Let me tell you, dear friend, let me help you. God says, I've got all the power you need. If you would just get to know Me, not with a head knowledge, but with a heart understanding. If I were to ask you to know who the president is, I think we'd come up with a name, wouldn't we? If I would ask you, do you know some things about him? Yeah, sadly, we all do, don't we? Some things we're not the most proud of, are we? But I don't believe anybody in here knows him the way this word is used, meaning to have an intimate, personal knowledge of and understanding of. So what the Lord is saying here, dear friend, I've got more grace. You say you need more grace. You say you need more peace in your life. You need more mercy. You need more wisdom. It's going to come through the sufficiency of this book, because this book gives you the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power then hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, where do I get that? I just get it through this book. How did Paul know? How did Peter know what God expected of them and how to live? Didn't Peter need help? I mean, who did the Lord say, get behind me? Say, who did he address that to? He addressed that to Peter, didn't he? Didn't another passage say that the Lord rebuked Peter? Didn't yet another passage that say that one day you're going to deny me three times? You see, Peter wasn't given the keys to the kingdom of heaven because of who he was. He was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven because of who God was. And the Lord says, when thou art converted, mean when you really change, I want you to do this. I want you to strengthen your brethren. God can bring the change that you need in your life. And it's through this book. I had someone contacted me yesterday. They're struggling with this area of their life. Pastor, where can I begin to read in the Word of God that will help me? What a delight as a shepherd to be able to answer that question. Here's someone wanting to change an area of their life. And what was their question? Not what book should I read? Where do you find this on Amazon? Or what book should I be looking for on eBay? No, it was, where in the Bible should I be reading to help me with this? They were recognizing the sufficiency of the Scripture. They didn't have the answer, but they knew God did. And so, dear friend, as we enter into 2019, we ought to recognize this book needs to become significant in my life. Some of you maybe read the paper every day, but don't read this book every day. Some of you may listen to the radio every day, but you don't read this book every day. Some of you may watch television every day, but you don't. This book isn't as significant then as some of those other things. This book needs to become significant in your life. By the way, you struggle reading in the day and age we live. Let's use the technology that God has allowed us to have. There are CDs out there. There are DVDs out there. There are MP3s out there. And if you think I'm speaking in Greek, I'm not. But anyway, they're out there and available to help you to understand the Word of God. So we all say, you know what? This book is so significant, I shouldn't try to go a day through the upcoming year without it. At least getting part of it, meditating, and reading God's Word. Because if this book can become significant to you, you wanted it. And then you recognize this isn't only significant, this is sufficient. This is all I need. This is going to help me. This will help me to get the grace and the peace that I need. This will help me to and have it multiplied, and this will help me to understand His divine power that will help me to perform the Christian life as He wants it to be performed. Gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, guess what else you'll find in there? Exceeding great and precious promises. Standing on the promises. I'll tell you what, dear friend, from time to time, you're going to, as you read the Word of God, you are going to be rebuked for the life that you are living and the way that you are living it. But you know, other times you are going to be so blessed because you're going to find out that God has a promise there for you to sustain and strengthen you. As you enter into 2019, I want to ask you, how valuable is this book to you? As you look back on 2018, and that's a long time to look back over, so let's just look at the last month or even the last week. How precious was this book to you? How significant was this book? Could you go this whole last week without regularly opening this and asking God to feed you with the bread of life? Did you find it sufficient as you struggled with life? Could you find answers through here? And again, Pastor Terry's going to have this class. It's going to help you in that personal daily relationship with the Lord. Dear friend, I want you to see the sufficiency of Scripture for life and living. if we would but all walk with God. Again, I'm not saying in this upcoming year you have to read 3 chapters every day. I'd be grateful if you read 3 verses every day and really gave your heart and mind to it. Saying, God, would you just show me something here today? Maybe start in the Psalms. The Psalms are personal relationship writings, a writing out of a relationship. Maybe just start there. Maybe just start reading through some of the Psalms and meditating. Maybe you only got to read 5 verses, but you're going to write one of them on a 3x5 card, or you're going to screenshot one of it on your phone or whatever, and you're going to look at it several times throughout the day. Think about how that applies to your heart and life. Asking the Lord to make that truth real to you. Again, how significant is this book to you? How sufficient is this book for life and godliness? God has given us all we need. May we take and use it in our daily lives. Let's pray.